We will continue talking about election results in this hour and what they mean for all of us. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, November the 7th. We have a wide variety of guests that we will hear from during this hour. We'll get their takes on the election results and where we go from here. And we welcome your reaction, too. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. By the way, we have an online poll up as well, so you can give us your reaction to the election results. Are you pleased with the election results overall? Are you celebrating this morning? Are you disappointed? Are you concerned about the election results? Or are you just glad it's over? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, we will talk about all of the election results from President Obama's re-election as President of the United States, winning a hard-fought victory against Governor Mitt Romney, and Democrats retaining the majority in the U.S. Senate, with Wisconsin making history, as we heard in state news, electing the first openly gay woman to serve in the U.S. Senate, Tammy Baldwin. Tammy Baldwin defeating former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson. And we have with us, to start off our roundup of different guests to talk about the election results, Ron Johnson, who is a U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, from Oshkosh. Good morning.
Morning, George. How are you doing?
I'm good. Are you disappointed this morning?
Well, sure. But, you know, Joy, one thing that I certainly learned in business is, you know, when you sit down and try and work with people, the first thing you try and establish is what we agree on. And I truly do believe, no matter where you fall on the political spectrum, that we all want a prosperous America. We all want every American to be able to build a good life for themselves and their families. So that's certainly how I approach things. I'm hoping that's the way President Obama and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid will approach things as well. We've got serious problems facing this nation. I'm willing to work with anybody that's willing to first acknowledge the problem, hopefully properly diagnose it, and then work with me in good faith to solve it. So I'll be reaching out to Tammy Baldwin later today. Haven't spoken with her yet, but he'll certainly offer every assistance we can in terms of helping set up state offices. We both represent every Wisconsin voter, and an awful lot of the state office work is really just about helping Wisconsinites navigate the federal system. We actually hired one of Russ Feingold's state staffers when I took office, so I think we can really work in a pretty cooperative relationship. That's certainly my intention.
Good. And what message do you think Wisconsin voters are sending, Senator Johnson? They elect you, not exactly the most liberal member of the House, as Tammy Baldwin has been described, a conservative U.S. senator and a liberal U.S. senator.
Well, I suppose you could take a look at that and go, this is a little confusing. And it may be, but, you know, what I hear repeatedly, Joy, and that's kind of why I started out with my comments, Wisconsin voters, and quite honestly, I think Americans, want solutions. I mean, they take a look at the very difficult problems facing this nation. And of course, President Obama said it's about math, and it is. It's very ugly math. I mean, that's really what I've been spending the last 45 days, when I wasn't, on the campaign trail, stumping for Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. What I was primarily doing is getting in front of every group of individuals I could with a PowerPoint presentation and just laying out the facts. And so, I think that's really what Wisconsin voters are looking for is a proper diagnosis of the problem and then working toward real solutions. And, you know, don't worry about ideology. I mean, I come from a business background, and I come from working on, in a local level, whether it's in school systems, whatever, where there is no party label. You know, I don't know who's a Democrat or Republican when you're sitting there working on school issues on a local level. It'd be nice if we could accomplish that same type of process at a national level. That's certainly my intention.
Yeah. Where do you see common ground with President Obama's and Democrats' policies that they are promoting for issues like the budget and the deficit?
Well, again, I think the goal is the same. We want a prosperous America, but, you know, truthfully, it's very difficult to tell where there's common ground because except for the president's budgets that he has presented, which truthfully have not gotten a vote I mean, not one vote. I mean, the last two budgets have been voted on now three times in Congress, twice in the Senate, once in the House, and you know, unfortunately, President Obama's plans have gone down 0 to 610. So those aren't serious proposals, and of course, the Senate, led by Democrat Senator Harry Reid, have not passed a budget in 3.5 years. So it's just difficult to say exactly, you know, what the proposals are, but I'm willing to work with them. I am concerned that about the only thing I do know they want to do is increase taxes, and of course they're targeting what they term is the wealthy. But unfortunately, what they're doing there is they're going to be increasing taxes on small to medium sized business people, and really it's not the solution. The most robust tax increase proposal from the Senate Democrats would supposedly raise, and it probably wouldn't, $34 billion a year. But Joy, we are facing a $1,090 billion per year deficit. That was a deficit last year. Their proposals simply don't work. It maybe sounds good, you know. Let's make the rich pay their fair share. But you know, I'm for making everybody pay their fair share. But their proposals don't even put a dent in the deficit. We have to look at how do we solve the long-term fiscal situation. How do we save programs like Social Security and Medicare? And there again, President Obama in 4 years hasn't put forward a proposal. So it's just very difficult right now to say, you know, how can we work with them until we actually see a proposal on the table.
So the president said in his victory speech last night that he's very hopeful. He says the best is yet to come. What do you say?
Well, I, as I travel around the state, certainly my business experience is that America is a land of bounty. You know, it's a land of abundance. It should be a land of unlimited opportunity. But, you know, from my standpoint, we have that unlimited opportunity because of individual freedom, a private sector, a free enterprise competitive system that really is a marvel in terms of economic history. And if we concentrate on growing that productive sector, the private sector, I mean, I think that's the path of economic growth, which does strengthen the middle class, which, you know, I'm all on board that. I mean, I want to make sure that every American is successful here. So, you know, my business experience tells me that it really is concentrating on growing the private sector where long-term self-sustaining jobs are created. Growing government only has grown our debt and has put us in this huge, huge hole of debt and deficits. And so we need to be very careful growing government.
Anything else about the election results, Senator Johnson, before we let you go?
Well, again, just we want to move forward. I'm willing to work with anybody. I'm going to be certainly reaching out to Tammy Baldwin, congratulating her on her victory, and doing everything we can to work together to offer real solutions for Wisconsin and America.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Have a great day.
Ron Johnson, Republican U.S. Senator from Oshkosh. I'm Joy Cardine. We are getting election reaction from a wide variety of guests during this hour. And you too, 1-800-642-1234. If you want to sound off about the election results, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We have some callers. So let's go to Richard in Kenosha. What do you think, Richard?
Well, basically, I'm voted for Obama, and you know, I'm glad he won. Basically, it seems to me like it's the whole country is kind of set up the same way it was 5-6 days ago. The thing is that I think people should more focus on our senators from the states and, you know, from the national level, and the Congress people from the state and the national level, because they have more power than the president does, and we don't seem to focus on them as much as we do, seeming to, you know, kind of ridicule the president in one way or another on how he's not doing a good job or how he's doing, coming right. He just won last night, and we've already got people talking about, okay, last year, you know, last 4 years, he hasn't done anything good. And then they're talking about Bush the 4 years before that. And it's Republicans are in control of Congress again. The Democrats are in control of the Senate again. And are we going to have the same kind of things happen that happened? You know, the more the responsibility is on their backs of how the last 4 years went as far as the Senate and, the Congress people.
Gotcha. Thank you very much, Richard. We'll continue to get reaction from our guests and from you as we continue this post-election roundup. We have with us next the mayor of Milwaukee, Tom Barrett. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's your reaction to President Obama first winning Wisconsin and winning re-election in the nation?
Well, I'm elated, and he had a very, very strong showing here in Wisconsin, as did Tammy Baldwin, and ran very, very, very well throughout the state of Wisconsin. And I think it's his message of trying to build this economy from the middle class out, that it's for people who are in the middle class and those people who are striving to become part of the middle class, that they need jobs. And if our economy is going to grow, it's going to grow with a strong middle class. So I'm very, very pleased.
Yeah, we just heard a caller who was I guess, concerned that he thought everything kind of stays the same in Washington anyway, and that we're just going to still have gridlock. Do you fear that as well?
Well, that's always a concern, and I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on everybody. I think the president showed last night that he wants to compromise, that he's willing to compromise. The big question is going to be whether the Republicans are willing to compromise, because up to this point, they have not shown any willingness to compromise, and that's what it's going to take. That's what true leadership is all about.
Mm-hmm. And why do you suppose Tammy Baldwin defeated former Governor Tommy Thompson for Wisconsin's open U.S. Senate seat?
Well, I think she ran close to a flawless campaign, and she was unflappable whenever there were these vicious attacks against her. She just stayed the same and just kept delivering her message, which was, again, a message of we have to have a government that cares about the middle class in this country. And obviously that message resonated with the president. It resonated with Tammy Baldwin. And it's a very powerful message because it's the one that I think is true. The middle class in this country is where the help is needed right now. And so when the president talked about nation building, now being nation building here in the United States, a lot of people understood what he was saying and agreed with him.
Yeah. Well, why do you think Wisconsin voters in 2010 elected U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican from Oshkosh, defeating a Democrat Russ Feingold, and now 2 years later, they send a liberal Democrat to the U.S. Senate again?
Well, 2010, of course, was a wave year for Republicans, and throughout the nation, you saw Republicans winning seats that ordinarily they wouldn't win. Now it's back to a little bit more of a normal distribution, but I think 2010 was the aberration. And in a presidential election year, at least here in Wisconsin, you have a much higher turnout, and that historically has benefited Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you hopeful, Mayor Barrett, that Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin and the rest of our congressional delegation, that we are going to be able to fix the problems facing this country?
Well, I know in the next 60 days, there's going to be a lot of pressure on all members of Congress because these sequestration rules will kick in, and you'll see pretty severe cuts and tax increases unless you can have the members of the Senate, the members of the House, working together with the president to avoid that. And so this is not going to be your typical lame duck period. There's going to be a lot of pressure, I think, put on members of Congress to work with the White House. And I'm hopeful that they'll come to a productive resolution.
Your thoughts on why Wisconsin reelects President Obama and elects Tammy Baldwin, but also decides to elect enough Republican state senators to have the Republicans regain control of the state Senate?
Well, in the redistricting process that occurs once every 10 years, those maps are redrawn. And we know from the lawsuits that have been filed that are pending in court, in federal court in particular, that the Republicans went out of their way to gerrymander the districts to favor Republicans. And they were successful. And this is the fruits of their labor there, that they have drawn lines that will benefit Republican members of the legislature probably throughout the rest of this decade.
What is the total control of state government by Republicans mean for public policy in the near term?
Well, it's obviously something I'm concerned about as the mayor of Milwaukee, because we have so many of the issues, the economic issues with people who, again, are striving to become part of the middle class, that we want to make sure that we have a partner in state government. I've felt that I've had a partner in the White House. I would love to have a partner in state government as well.
The state budget will be probably priority one. Anything that you're concerned about there?
Well, shared revenue is always a major concern here. The residency rules that we have in place in the city of Milwaukee that were collectively bargained, those are important to us as well.
But certainly shared revenue aid for local roads has been a big, big, big issue. That was an area where there was actual a cut that we received in the last state budget. And I can tell you, and I think this is true throughout the state, is people want their local roads in good shape. They, of course, they want to have good state highways. But those potholes and those worn-out county roads and those worn-out city streets are very problematic throughout the entire state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, anything else regarding the election that you'd like to share before we let you go?
Well, I was obviously not happy to see the state Senate flip back to the Republicans, and I would have loved to have seen more Democratic gains in the state assembly, but I'm ecstatic with the reelection of the president. I'm ecstatic about the election of Tammy Baldwin. Those are both very, very good for the state of Wisconsin.
We appreciate your time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Tom Barrett, Democratic mayor of Milwaukee. We'll hear from some other guests as we continue and from you at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is a post-election hour on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network as we talk about yesterday's election results. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you would like to take part in our hour. Kathleen Dunn will have election night results and analysis as well coming up after 9 o'clock. More on Talk of the Nation after 1 o'clock and during At Issue with Ben Marins after 4 o'clock. So plenty of opportunity for you to talk about why Wisconsin voted the way we voted, why the nation voted the way we voted, and what it all means coming up on the Ideas Network. Next, we go to Carrie in West Dallas. Hello, Carrie.
Hi. I'm calling. I can't believe I'm on the radio after Tom Barrett as a Democrat. I'm just thrilled right now. But I got to say, I woke up this morning so excited. Obama's been reelected. It's a great day. My kids were chanting Obama this morning. Excited to see Tammy Baldwin elected to the Senate. But as a state employee, a little bit nervous that our state Senate has gone back to the Republicans and Scott Walker's still in office. You know, it's hard to be completely joyful being unsure of what's going to happen in this next budget biennium. So a little bit nervous, but still really excited.
I'm very glad you joined us. Thank you very much, Carrie, for your reaction. Maybe we can ask Christine Bremer-Moogley to talk a little bit about that as we welcome her to our post-election roundup going on this hour. Christine Bremer-Moogley is an attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau. She's a frequent guest on our Week in Review program. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
Good. So, well, we just heard from a caller, you probably heard her too, saying she's overjoyed as a Democrat that President Obama was reelected and that Tammy Baldwin was elected to the U.S. Senate in Wisconsin, but concerned about Republican control of our state government here in Wisconsin. Are you concerned about our state government?
I am. You know, it was like a wonderful dream to wake up and realize that we had our president back and that Tammy Baldwin, who is such an inspiration to all of us, won in such a great way in the way she's recognized. But then to realize, oh dear, we have a state Senate and a state assembly we're going to have to deal with, and it's totally gone over to the GOP side and given Governor Walker this huge majority for him to work with. And it's a worry to those of us who are on the progressive side, who really want to be able to protect things and programs that are important to us, like education and healthcare. And so, just like Carrie, I'm very, very happy, but I'm also a bit nervous. I think this just like Mayor Barrett and I, like Carrie also, I'm very thrilled to be on right after him. But, you know, I think that this reapportionment made a huge difference. We had some fantastic candidates on the Democratic side in both the Assembly and in the Senate. And Jess King is one of the finest candidates I think we've ever had in the Senate. And we supported her very strongly. And so when you look at what happened, the effects of reapportionment really did work. I mean, that was what the Republicans wanted to do when they redistricted our state to make it easier for Republican candidates to win. And that was extremely successful for them. And also you have to remember with regard to Jess King, you know, there was $1 million spent in Green Bay against her alone in the last few weeks. She was ahead in the polls all the way through until the negative ads came on. So I think what we take away from this is that, you know, when there is an equal playing field, then candidates can win, and we have representatives that really reflect our state. But when the money is so strong on one side and it's against the other, it really does make a big difference. So now we have to learn to work together, and I'm really looking forward to it. I pray that we can have a very successful next 4 years under our president, you know, working through successfully now and making Obamacare work for all the people, and hopefully immigration reform and tax reform, and we can really start working on the debt. So I'm hopeful, you know, it's like two sides of it. Very sad that up north here we didn't have Pat Kreitlow, mm-hmm. but I'm hopeful that we can work with Sean Duffy. I'm very hopeful that we can work with the representatives that we have elected. In Wausau, we elected Mandy Wright, and we are thrilled about that. She's going to be a very wonderful asset to the state assembly. She takes the seat of Donna Seidel and formerly Congressman Obie's seat. And so we're thrilled about Mandy, and we'll see what happens in the future. But we have to look forward now, and I have a wonderful feeling in my stomach about what happened, but I'm also a little bit worried about our state. But we'll get there.
Let's talk about the U.S. Senate seat that Tammy Baldwin won. Were you surprised at all, Christine, that she was able to defeat longtime, very popular Republican governor, former governor Tommy Thompson?
I was, at first, when she first announced, I was worried because we all know Tommy, and he had been a governor that was very, very popular in our state. And many of us really loved Tommy Thompson that we knew before. But once the election started once the campaign started and we saw Tammy's strength and her strong message and her consistent message, and then when it was laid out for us what Tommy Thompson had really become and what he had done in the last years, I think people realized this is not the person that we need in the Senate. And Tammy is so strong in her message. She never apologized for a vote. She never apologized for who she was. And people recognized that, and they admired her for it. And she is just one of the finest people you could meet. And so her honesty and her strength of character and her compassion for people, I really think, won the day.
Yeah. Any comment nationally on the Democrats retaining the majority in the U.S. Senate?
Well, you know, I'm just so thankful that we did. And isn't it interesting, just as Senator Johnson said, that we are a state that can elect someone like Eugene McCarthy. We're a state that can elect Russ Feingold. And we're a state that can have two senators of absolutely opposing political ideologies. And yet we have them both, and they are going to hopefully work together to represent the people of this state. We are independent. We look at individual people, and we elect them based on their own, you know, personalities and what they bring to the table. So I think that it's we got to pray that it's going to work together, and thank God we have the Senate. I'm thrilled about that, and I'm hopeful that the House will work with our president now that they've got a message from the American people that he is the one that we want to lead our country.
Yeah. Do you think that that's going to happen? Will the president be able to work with the Republicans in Congress?
Well, you know, we start hearing this morning right away, the people saying terrible things about the president, and you just wish that for one morning they could wish him well and say, congratulations, this is our new leader, and let's go ahead together. We didn't hear that very much, but we did hear it from Congressman Duffy last night, that he wants to move ahead in a bipartisan manner, and I'm hopeful that he will do that, and I'm hopeful that others will also follow that route, and let's see if the Congress can be led in a way that they realize that the American people are sick of this, and we really, really want solutions to the problems. The time is now to do this, and I hope that just in this honeymoon period, if we even have a honeymoon after this election, that they will try to work together and see these problems as problems that have to be solved so our nation can move forward.
Yeah. Anything else before we let you go? Any reflections on the election?
Well, I think that one of the things that we learned from this election that I think is really, really crucial is that the money issue really needs to be solved, and that, if it's so unequal on both sides, that we need to solve that. And I think the American people are just had enough of these TV ads, and we really need to learn how to spend money in a way that's meaningful for our people and not just tearing each other down. So I hope that we can have some true campaign finance reform, and maybe it's time for that now.
Thank you so much, Christine, for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Christine Bremer-Moogley, attorney with Bremer and Trollop Law Offices in Wausau. She was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention and a frequent guest on our Week in Review programs. 1-800-642-1234. If you'd like to join us in this post-election reaction roundup, you can also send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Janice in La Crosse is with us. Hi, Janice.
Yeah, hi, Joy. I'm depressed.
Oh, well, why is that?
Well, because I'm with for Romney, of course, you know. And I really wanted to have Romney, and I loved his plan to turn this country around, you know, to start getting jobs, you know, trying to cut this $16 trillion fiscal deficit. And, you know, that's one thing. I mean, believe it, I'm just sick about the fact that, you know, we got four more years of the same old, same old. I mean, this is depressing. And then I'm thinking, why don't we have term limits on these people? You know, they're hardcore politicians, these incumbents that are lifers. You know, they've been in, some of them going for 30 and 40 years, you know. And I'm like, no, turn them over, man. Let the new life come in. Then we won't have this polarization like we have now where nobody can do anything, you know, because these incumbents are still in there and now we're not doing anything. I mean, you know, three or four terms out, goodbye, come on, let's go, get some new blood in here.
So are you happy about the state results, though?
Yes, yes, of course. I'm happy because I think Walker's doing a great job, and now they're going to be able, yes, they'll work together, and they'll get something done, rather than the country where we're polarized again. We're going to be right back where we were before, which is sad again, but I'm so pleased with Wisconsin that, hey, we can get some things done over there, you know, Republican Walker, you know, he's going to work with people across the lines. I mean, we're doing it in Wisconsin. It's a good model for the rest of the country, but here we are with the rest of the country. We're just back in where we were before. Term limits, finance spending, you know, cut these hardcore politicians. I'm so sick of this whole, this should prove it to people. Trillions of dollars spent on this horrible, you know, this kind of these ads and all this stuff.
Janice, I got to jump in. Thank you very much for joining us in this, in our roundup. What's your reaction to the election results? What are your hopes, your fears, your concerns, your questions? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We are hearing from guests from many different perspectives all hour long. We've already heard from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. We've heard from Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett. We've heard from Christine Bremer-Moogley, and now we hear from Christian Schneider. He's a senior fellow at the Wisconsin Public Research Institute. He is a columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and National Review. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. Well, what's your overall reaction to what Wisconsin did, what the nation did yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, in the last couple of years, we've seen what a crazy place Wisconsin is, and it just kind of followed last night. I mean, now you have Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin kind of bookending the U.S. Senate on the ideological spectrum. It all happened within the span of about 2 years. So, and then on the on the state level, you have Republicans actually picking up seats in the state Senate and in the state Assembly. But then going big for Obama and for Tammy Baldwin. So. You know, it's just a really weird time.
Yeah, what message do you think that's sending us, Christian Schneider? Why are Wisconsin voters doing this?
I don't know if it's just the local issues that they're more tuned into or that they're more comfortable with, but you know, the fact that they seem to be fairly comfortable with Scott Walker's agenda, but also at the same time being pro Obama. You know, there seem to be a lot of Scott Walker, Obama voters out there, and you know, maybe
that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Because Scott Walker's against many of the policies that President Obama is for.
That's true, and it could just be, you know, the way that individual candidates frame them to each of their constituencies. That you know, maybe Scott Walker makes sense, and President Obama makes sense at the same time. I don't know. The fact that a state in the span of 2 years can elect Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson, I think, just shows that you know, it can tip either way.
Yeah.
We're a state deeply divided, and there's just now a handful of moderates there in the middle that'll that'll tip the scales either way. And I think the election last night showed that.
Well, are you hopeful, Christian Schneider, that the different ideologies are going to be able to come together to fix the country?
Well, it's going to be a lot tougher now. The Republicans really, it was a bloodbath for the Republicans on the in the U.S. Senate. So that's going to be remain Democratic. I mean, across the board, they lost just about every seat that they could have picked up. So the Senate's going to be a Democrat. The House is going to be Republican, and you've got President Obama. So we'll see. I'm not hopeful that there's going to be a lot done, but you never know. With a president in his second term, maybe he loosens up and becomes more pragmatic.
Do you think that the defeat of those socially conservative Tea Party Senate candidates means that Republicans ought to consider being more in the middle than on the edge?
Well, there is something to that. I mean, in 2010 there were a couple of seats that the Republicans just gave up because they kind of had knuckleheads running for U.S. Senate, and then this time, you had the Aiken and Murdoch cases, and there are just only so many seats in the U.S. Senate that are up for grabs. And if you start just giving those things away, you end up where you are now. So I think they definitely need to take a look at recruiting better candidates and cut down on a lot of the mistakes that they've been making.
Well, we don't have the divided government in Wisconsin anymore. Republicans regaining control of the state Senate with the election yesterday. We just heard from our caller, Janice in La Crosse, applauding that, saying that now Governor Walker and the state legislature can continue to fix Wisconsin. What do you expect to happen in Wisconsin now that we have all Republican control of state government?
Well, I'd hate to say that Wisconsin is now settled, because we've been saying that for a couple of years now, and something always seems to crop up. But, I think we'll see an extension of what Scott Walker wants to do. I think he wants to probably move towards lowering tax rates, which he thinks will create more jobs. Hopefully, now that the election on the federal level is over, there's a little more certainty, and people know kind of more what to expect, or at least business owners do, so they can begin to start hiring people again. But Scott Walker's got a full 2 years and full control to do what he wants now, and so I think you're gonna see more moves towards smaller government, and hopefully more business friendly legislation.
We have Deborah in Hudson who emails. I think the Republican victory on the state level is proof of the ability of Republicans to have redrawn voting districts in their favor. To say something other than that, given that Obama and Baldwin won, is nonsense. So it's just a matter of redistricting, according to Deborah. What do you say to that?
There's probably some truth to that. Absolutely, yeah. They redrew the districts, and even in a big, what seemed to be kind of a Democratic wave election, they still managed to pick up seats too. And there's two congressional seats too that were actually seemed to be in play, and Reed Ribble and Sean Duffy, and both won by 12%. And so, it's just really hard to explain.
Yeah. Anything else before we let you go? Any other reflections on the election?
Not really.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time. Thanks very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Joy.
Christian Schneider, a senior fellow at the Wisconsin Public Research Institute, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the National Review. Let's take a call now from Pete in Oshkosh. Hi, Pete.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm kind of upbeat in a different manner. I voted for Governor Gary Johnson. And the reasons I voted third party is, I've been turned away by the Democrats, Republicans. I kind of view them as big mega corporations. They have a lot of spending, a lot of power and influence. And to me, I'm always baffled by how they can control the third parties. Because they had two good debates, one in Chicago and one in D.C., and also with the third parties. I mean, even Dr. Jill Stein of the Green Party got arrested twice during this campaign season. And to me, it's like you'd think there'd be some coverage, but the media has kind of sheltered them out, pushed them out. So it's kind of a general observance that, you know, can the third parties actually break into the mainstream to at least get their, you know, views and viewpoints. And to me, I'm always shocked that you always hear of other countries arresting presidential candidates, but yet, you know, we arrested Dr. Jill Stein at least twice here. So, you know, trying to give the third parties a little bit more coverage. The other point I have is, you know, through the campaign, another thing that deterred me was kind of, you know, not much talk on the U.S. Constitution, which to me is always a topic a lot don't like to speak about, but, you know, it plays a role because, you know, the Bill of Rights and our Ten Amendments, that's, you know, it's basically we the people, it's our protection from, you know, the powers of the federal government.
So are you excited that, for instance, Gary Johnson picked up 1% of the vote in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it kind of reflected nationally. I know he was shooting for 5%, but I think the 1%, you know, it was only like 20,000 or so votes, but, you know, it's something that, you know, he can work on for 2016, or maybe the independents can rally together, or the third parties. So, you know, this, you know, to me, I'm still upbeat about it because, you know, my candidate never had a shot, but at the same time, you know, I wanted to send that message to the large parties that, you know, your message is there, but I'm not going to be deterred or swayed because I don't like the money involved in the parties and the process. And, you know, I always look to third parties because, you know, I'm big on the Constitution, and, you know, part of it says free and equal elections, so I'm always big on why can't the third parties.
All right. Thank you very much, Pete, for your input as we are gathering reaction to yesterday's election. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Coming up, we will welcome in longtime columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Eugene Kane, and we will also hear from former Republican Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Margaret Farrow. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn will have more election reaction and analysis coming up after 9 and after 10, for that matter. We are also getting election reaction and analysis. We welcome now Eugene Kane, a former longtime columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Good morning, Eugene.
Hey, good morning, Joy.
Hey, I see that you just tweeted. We're following you, Eugene. You wrote, "Great morning, America." So why is it a great morning?
Oh, I'm just usually very optimistic when I get up in the morning, Joy. But no, I mean, seriously, I think it's a great morning. I think in terms of what happened last night was, you know, kind of reaffirmed what happened 4 years ago. And I remember the day after 4 years ago just seemed like a real great morning, because for people who I guess think like I do, it's a sign that, you know, things are going to stay on the right track and there's not going to be anything real dramatic happening to kind of derail things that have been going on.
So why do you suppose, were you confident, Eugene, that President Obama was going to be reelected nationally and here in Wisconsin?
I don't want to get too cocky and say confident, but I will admit that I had a strange feeling of calm in these last few days, partly because I'm in contact with people who claim that they, you know, they know how this stuff works. So months ago, I had a real good conversation with a political person in D.C. where, you know, I have some family and I go visit a lot. And he basically laid out the whole Ohio and Pennsylvania strategy, which showed that, you know, Romney was just not going to win unless he got Ohio or Pennsylvania. So since then, I kind of have been watching polls on that, and it, and the polling has been so. I think that's one of the big stories after this. The polling just seemed so suspect in so many areas because it didn't possibly seem that, you know, they could be trading such a tight lead over time the way they did, because Obama had been in the lead in those states pretty much from the beginning. And even though it tightened, it ended up being the way that my friend had told me. So in answer to your question, I was holding out hope that he was right. So I wasn't allowing myself to feel, you know, to feel worried, because he assured me that the Electoral College tolls were shaping up in Obama's favor. It's hard. One thing he did tell me that I think was borne out: it's very hard to unseat an incumbent president.
Yeah. Well, what do you make, Eugene, of a state that in the span of 1 year reelects a conservative Republican governor in that failed recall attempt, Governor Walker winning reelection, and then reelecting Democratic President Barack Obama and Tammy Baldwin, for that matter, the first openly gay woman to serve in the U.S. Senate?
Well, I mean, it was a time when they used to use the word progressive to refer to Wisconsin. And I think, you know, it became a bad word in under certain administrations. But I think it's a return to the fact of what that word really means. People here are, you know, progressive thinkers. And I always question how we were ever going to split it. There were theories that, well, Obama might win the state, but Tommy Thompson will win the Senate. And I never saw that as a viable thing. I pretty much thought it was going to be all in. If Obama won the state, you had to figure that Tammy Baldwin would win. And I think she, to her credit, she ran a great campaign and, you know, attacked Thompson on his weak points. And again, she came through as a progressive type of politician for voters. So, you know, I didn't have all the answers. I don't act day after like I had all the answers or anything. But it seems, I think the main message to me is that this is the kind of state where the recall of Walker, I think that might have been more about people not being comfortable with the idea of recalling him as opposed to any great big show of, you know, support for him during that. So there's a lot of things. Political science is going to have a ball figuring this one out for the next couple weeks.
Before we let you go, are you hopeful about the future? Do you think President Obama is going to be able to, work with Republicans in Congress on the different problems?
Well, if they're willing to work with him, I think certainly things can be done. Because it just seems to me that they have to realize that if they really want to be viable, or I'm talking about the Republican Party, if they really want to be viable in the short term or in the near future, they have to kind of rethink what they've been doing. So if all they want to be is obstructionists, and all of a sudden my little hunch that I have with a friend is that, okay, Obama won, now comes the move to impeach Obama through either Benzai or some other manufactured issue they're going to come up with, that will be a sign where things are going if immediately the opposition starts coming up with more obstructionist stuff for Obama. Because I think they're cutting their own throat by the demographics of the election alone. It's like Republicans have to do a lot to get back to be any kind of viable major competing party. So, yeah, to answer your question, I'm hopeful that they got the message.
All right. Well, anything else before we let you go?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing to me, again, because I look at racial issues, is that this, again, is a country where the majority of white people did not vote for this president, not because I think they're racist or anything, but I think because, you know, his support doesn't just rely on just white people. And I think the interesting figure I heard last night was this 72 or 73% of the voters were white, which is, I guess, lower than it's been in a lot of years due to the more diversity in America. And somebody had a poll that if the Republicans had gotten 76%, if white people had showed up 76%, that would have been enough for Romney to win. So it's real interesting how, you know, I'm in a position where people say I concentrate on race too much. But, hey, like I've said and a lot of people said over the years, race still does matter in this country.
Well, we'll have to do another show just on that. Thanks very much for being with us.
All right, Joy. Have a good one.
Eugene Kane is a columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now we'll take some more calls. Dave in Menominee, Michigan is with us now. Hi, Dave. What are you thinking this morning?
Hi. Well, I'm happy about the President Obama being reelected. I wanted to bring up, you know, what the next 4 years would be like. And it's interesting, the last guy you had on, bringing up reasons why the Republicans would obstruct. We know that they filibustered 359 times since they lost control of the Senate in 2006. That's equal to the previous 70 years from World War I on to Reagan. So we know that they want to stop anything.
Do you think that's going to happen again?
Well, they needed a reason last time, and they had to tell us, you know, everybody had all these questions about the president, which enabled them to act the way they were acting. So now this last caller, he brought up this Benghazi incident, which is real interesting, which makes me think they're going to come, maybe would come around with a new reason why we don't have to go along with this president. And I hope that's not going to happen.
Thank you very much, Dave. We now welcome our next and final guest this hour, Margaret Farrow, former Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, also another frequent guest on our Friday Weekend Review programs. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. So are you celebrating or not this morning?
Well, you know, I'm not celebrating the big picture. We've had a personal victory in that our son is going to be the 33rd Senate nominee now and has to go through a general in that special election. He'll have the general on December 4th. So that's close to home.
Yeah, that's right. And, congratulations on that. And that is going to...
We're very proud of him.
He's going to probably help Wisconsin Republicans have, what, an 18-15 majority?
Then they will. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In January, they'll have 18-15.
And what does that mean, Margaret Farrow? Does that...
Well, that's kind of what I was going to say. You know, we've got this 1% difference in the total results up on the top of the the top of the ballot that says, well, we are, some say, a divided country, and I say we're a country with very different, you know, viewpoints and philosophies and policy attitudes. The interesting thing, I've been listening all hour. You've had some terrific comments from both sides, I thought. My issue is they were saying, oh, it's redistricting. That's why Wisconsin looks so strange. We're right back where we were. I mean, it's as though nothing ever happened from 2010, 2008. I mean, there really isn't a change in our legislature or since, you know, in the last 2 years in our governor's, role. I majored in political science before everybody in the world seems to be majoring in political science. So I do a bit of the student thing, too, and I'm wondering, what is it about close to home we go this way and far away we go the other way,
yeah.
You know what how I describe it. And I'm not quite sure what that is, but I think, you know, all right, given where we're at, my question is, I have two. One is, I listened to the president last night. I thought both Governor Romney and the president were eloquent in their speeches at the end of their campaign, you know, celebration. I hope he during his campaign, the president said, you know, he's going to reach across the aisle. Watch him. He can do it. I hope he truly means that. I think, you know, he doesn't have a legislative background of any amount. He doesn't know what it means to sit in the room at a table and hammer out a compromise agreement, which is the way legislation should work. It shouldn't be all one side's idea and no, you know, winnowing and sifting and tempering or whatever. I'm hoping that he really meant that, because I don't think he can keep doing it by fiat as he did with Obamacare and what have you. So I truly am hoping.
So that was your one question, and because we're running short on time, what was your other question?
Well, the other one is, I hope, are people going in decision-making positions going to watch Wisconsin? We're doing things here that others say, well, that's what we should do. We have made changes here that I think our results are showing. We've wiped out our debt. We're finding ways to work together. I know our school district, for one that I live in, the people are just working beautifully together, the administration and the teachers. And so I think all the, you know, the things we heard that were going to be so wrong about Act 10, which now I know is up in the air, I'm just hoping people are looking at some results, because the last 2 years in this state, we can show some results and maybe take that to a wider level of, if you want to say, experiment or whatever. So I see some glimmers of hope for our side out of this. I wish the president well. Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
You've got so much experience with the state of Wisconsin. What do you expect priority one to be for Governor Walker and the state legislature in our final minute?
Well, I think two. I think he's going to continue to try to look at the tax level in Wisconsin and do something about that if our economy begins to kind of creep forward more strongly. And secondly, I think education. On all levels, starting at kindergarten right up through 16. I think we've got to do something to show how education can be delivered better for our students and for, ultimately, our workforce needs.
We'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, good to be with you.
Margaret Farrow, former Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin and a frequent guest on our Friday Week in Review programs. Well, it's been quite a morning. Lots of different guests, lots of reaction from you as well. We thank you for your input. You can continue voting online if you want to. It's at WPR.org/joy or linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you want to react to how you feel about the election results. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this morning and to Amanda Magnus for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.